We're doing the Maharal's Be'er HaGula. The Maharal wrote this work in defense of rabbinic institutions. And the Maharal had delineated that there are three types of rabbinic institutions: Divrei Sofrim, Asmachta, and Halchakot, things that the rabbis instituted to keep us as a fence, to keep us distant from transgressing. And now Harvi'i, the fourth type of rabbinic institution is mitzvot she'inam nisiag v'legader. There you have rabbinic institutions that are not there to protect from transgressing a biblical thing. Ubichlal hazeh mitzvot she'tiknu bizman min hazmanim. So included in this are rabbinic institutions like rabbinic mitzvot that were instituted at a specific juncture in Jewish history. Kmo, for example, ner Chanukah. We light Hanukkah candles, right? That's a rabbinic institution. Chayotze b'zeh. And the like. So you have here rabbinic mitzvot that are not there to protect from transgression, and yet the rabbis had the power to institute that. Uvazen afla sheila yoter beze tzad yitkashu mitzvot elu im mitzvot haTorah. So here you seem to have a stronger question: how do these mitzvot connect to the biblical mitzvot? At sheinam Torah bifnei atzmam. How come you don't say that's a new Torah that the rabbis instituted, a rabbinic mitzvot? Ven kan shtei Torot rak Torah achat. How come we view it as all one big Torah? Why don't we say, hey, that's the second Torah? And if you look closely, then this too is not a question. Because the rabbinic mitzvos are part of the program, so to speak, to keep a person in line, to do what he should do. If you have a lot of things that keep you on the same path, then you don't say that's a new path. You don't say that the fact that there are all kinds of lines on the highway that keep you in line, and signs, and the rabbinic mitzvos are more of the same, keeping you on one path. So don't ask me, lama enam netunim min Hashem yitbarach. If you really needed all those things for God's path, why didn't God give you those mitzvos? V'zeh kidichtiv ha'ipach v'apav nishmat ruach nishmat chayim v'advarim hativiyim kulam hem min ha'teva v'ateva poelet shechen Hashem yitbarach siderot ha'teva lifol dvarim tiviyim. On the one hand, the verse says, God gave man life. Yet there's a lot of nature at play, every person's life. And you don't say, hey, why is nature functioning here? God is the one that's supposed to give life. You say nature is working within God's world. And within God's world, you breathe the air, you take in the sunlight, you take the cures you need, you take in the food you need. So who gives me life? Is it my sandwich? Is it God? You say it's God within a system where God allowed you to take care of yourself and continue living. V'kach ze be'atzmo. So the same thing applies to the spiritual world. כי אין ראוי שיהיה הכל בשווה, כי הדברים אשר הם דברים עליוניים ויש להם שכל עליון כמו שהם מצוות התורה, הם מן השם יתברך. Not everything is equal. And he's going to explain. You have godly things, you have things that are the mitzvos of the Torah, things that were given directly from Hashem. והדברים אשר אינם כל כך שכל אלוקי עליון והם מצוות דבריהם. Then you have things that are on a lower level. And those are the mitzvos that are rabbinic. Hem min sechel hachamim. That comes from the rabbinic institution, from their intelligence. Shekmo shesider Hashem itbarach hateva, shehateva poelet hadavar shehu gashmi b'rtzon Hashem itbarach. Just as within nature, you say Hashem set up a system, and the system doesn't contradict him. It's part of the way he runs the world. V'hadavar shehu nivdal bilti gashmi u'min Hashem itbarach. Then you have miraculous things. You have things that you have the Torah. You have concepts. You have things that are godly. V'shnehem ashlimim et ha'adam. But you live in a world where you function on both planes. You contend with the physical, you deal with nature. Within that system you serve Hashem, and you use that system to serve Hashem. Kach ze ba'atzmo ha'davar shehu sechel eloki legamrei ra'u sheyeh poel ze Hashem yitbarach. So too you have things which Hashem says they're completely godly, and here he's discerning that the rabbinic mitzvot are not on the same level. The biblical mitzvot, they're completely godly. So God gives them. והדבר שאינו כל כך שכל אלוקי, סידר השם יתברך את החכמים, כמו שסידר הטבע לפעול אשר שייך לפעול, ועל ידי שניהם התורה היא שלמות האדם. He says, and then just like Hashem set up nature, so that within nature we keep mitzvot, so too, Hashem set up the rabbis whose job it is to give us their rabbinic mitzvot, and this is part of how a person is whole in performing the Torah. Now you notice, he finished off the thought, and in that final sentence is where he really set his punchline. Everything else was an encasing. In the final sentence he says, and God gave us the rabbis to give us those mitzvot, which I would have put as the first sentence. The Torah says, they're going to tell you and you're going to listen. Meaning it's not an external system, because the Torah says, whatever they tell you within the system, that goes in line with the system, so go with them. If they try to abort the system, so abort the rabbi. You know, abort, retry, delete. So if he tries to abort the system, delete the rabbi. No retry. There is a system, we're going with the system. So the rabbinic institutions are also going with that system. But that he leaves as an afterthought, because his whole point here is to develop philosophically. How does it work? You're asking me legally, halachically? That's because the Torah said so. Philosophically, how come we don't say that rabbinic institutions contradict the Torah? So that's what he just described. Just like nature doesn't contradict the Torah. We work within the system of nature and we don't say it's a contradiction. We say it's part of it. So too, the rabbinic mitzvot are not a contradiction. They're a part of it. So why did Hashem set up a system where I need the rabbis to come and institute lighting Shabbos candles? When Moshe gave the Torah, they didn't light Shabbos candles. Along came the rabbis and said, light Shabbos candles. Along came the rabbis and said, wash your hands when you wake up in the morning. If you think closely, you'll see that most of what we do all day is rabbinic. Make a blessing before you eat. Make a blessing after you eat, not only bread. Daven three times a day. Say these words in your davening. Wear tzitzit, even though you didn't need a four-cornered garment. Wear a garment that has four corners so you obligate yourself. Think about it. How many things do you do in a day that are biblical? 80% of your mitzvot at least are rabbinic.
Is this a rabbinic mitzvot? If the rabbi told you to put on a...
Yeah, it's a good point. Is it really a mitzvah or is it just a recommendation? Yeah, I guess you're right. We'd say it's a recommendation. But that deserves a class on its own. Okay. Kvar zeh mevu'al b'katuv. So the verse already addressed this issue. Dichtiv, the Torah says, lo tasum nadvar sheyagidu lecha. Don't leave what the rabbis tell you. Notice how he worked the exact opposite from how we would work. You'd ask me, I'd begin with the verse. I'd begin with, where do they have a right to do it? And then I'd come and tell you the philosophy of why it's not a contradiction. He works the other way, because the whole point of the work is philosophical. His point is not halachic. So he says, okay, you see the verse. Hashem says, in the Torah, you have to stick with what the rabbis say. I gave them the responsibility to make institutions. Then Adam Shiomar Mashepala Teva Shenomina Shemit Barach, Kuit Barach Sidera Teva. No one's gonna say nature is without God. The sun rises, that's not God. The sun sets, that's not God. You see, there's nature. No, if you realize there's a God, you also realize that God set up a nature. Vekach Damar Zebatzmon, so too here. Mashetiknu Chachamima Kolumina Shemit Barach, the rabbinic institutions, they really go back to God. Asher sider et hachachamim lifol b'sichlam asher ra'uy letaken. He gave them that responsibility. They were given the job to make institutions. Umipnei ze anu mvachim gam al mitzvot elu shetiknu chachamim. And that's why when we do rabbinic mitzvot, we make a blessing. Asher kideshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu. God sanctified us and commanded us. He commanded us. The rabbis told me to light Hanukkah candles. Why am I saying Tzivanu? And that's what the Talmud tells us in Tractate Shabbos. Lomar ki akol sider Hashem itbarach. It tells us, yeah, Hashem commanded you, listen to the rabbis. So that's called Hashem commanded you. If I tell you, I tell my kids, I'm leaving the eldest one in charge, listen to him. So when he tells them, the other kids, what to do, what does he do? He says, Abba said. Abba said, you said. Abba didn't say. Yeah, but Abba said, listen to me. So Hashem said, listen to the rabbis. They're supposed to run things. So then, so long as they're within the system. So that's called that Hashem commanded us. And if you think about these things, you realize that things are the way they should be. Yeah?
The rabbis are coming to tell us that they take their source,
based on this verse, they say you need to listen to us.
Right.
It's circular thinking.
You're saying, how would you interpret the verse?
It's not a question of me interpreting it. There's a verse in Torah that they are coming and saying, we are interpreting this verse to mean that you have to listen. And that's how they're setting it up.
But what
they're getting their authority from a verse that they are interpreting.
But I'm saying, how else would you interpret the words? The words say, when you have a question what the law is, you don't know what's right or wrong, go up to the place that God chooses and ask the Kohen or the Levite, ask the teacher that's there, and there you will have a central authority and you will do in accordance with what they teach you. Do not veer from what they say.
I would interpret that as when you have a question of halacha on the Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebapeh, don't know what to do, they will determine the halacha. But what you're saying is 80% of what we do during the day, davening three times a day, the brachot before and after, that's not a question of halacha or waiting to tziyot. That's a different animal.
So let's make the question more sharp. You're saying let's delineate between their interpretation of the verse or their interpretation of a halacha that the Torah said. Here the Torah said, listen to them. They have the tradition. Where did we come off and say they have the right to add or to institute their own rabbinic mitzvah? That's a totally different thing. The Torah said they will define for you the Torah. That's one responsibility. Where do you come off saying they will also tell you what to do?
Or add on.
So or add on, or...
During the day, it seems to be add on.
Okay.
That's my question.
So that's a very good question, which deserves a long answer, which we can encompass to a degree right now. I think that part of it we'll see as we continue in the book. Part of it we already saw earlier in the book. But I want to address it from a different angle than we've seen until now, or we will see in the future. Okay? And let's divide our discussion on a few fronts. One point we should tackle is, does the verse indicate it? Do you see it in the verse? That's question number one. Another point we should tackle is, where did they come off saying that from? Which is not exactly synonymous, and I'll explain why. There was a ger who came to Hillel and said, I want the written law, I don't want the oral law. So Hillel said, fine. So he took out a chart, he wrote on it the letter Aleph, he said, this is an Aleph. He wrote on it a letter Beis, he said, this is a Beis. Review that, come back tomorrow. Comes back the next day. He says, did you learn it? Did you get it? Yeah, got it. Good. Okay. Takes out the chart, draws a letter Aleph, tells him, okay, now this is a base. Draws a letter base, says, now this is an Aleph. So the guy looks at him and says, no. I learned this well. You switched the order. Yesterday you told me that was an Aleph and that's a base. So Hillel looks at him and says, what? He says, you said that was an Aleph and that's a Beis. He said, well, he grabbed him by the ear and said to him, listen to what you're saying. You said. You understand what you just said? In order to learn anything, you need me. Otherwise, you don't even know the Aleph Beis, right? So, before we start, you can't tell me, I'm going to interpret. What are you going to interpret? You don't have the Aleph Beis, literally, if you're not going to go with tradition. So, when we approach the Torah, people take a term and they misapply it. There's a term called emunat chachamim. And the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, you need emunat chachamim to learn. So people think that emunat chachamim means the rabbi said he's second to God, he knows everything. That's not true, that's not emunat chachamim. Emunat chachamim is the confidence, it's a few things, but among other things, it is the confidence I have in him that he's not going to lie to me. He's not going to interpret the Torah the way he sees fit. He's going to interpret the Torah truthfully. So there I have a certain amount of faith. I can't begin without it. I don't have where to begin without it. We could expand this point, really, to the direction the Kuzari takes it, that if we're going to go the route the Sadducees went, where we say, I want to interpret the Torah the way I see fit, then it's never-ending. Because if it's non-traditional, so then you could say whatever you want. There's no limits. And then you never know if what you said is right. So you always have to question yourself. Maybe tomorrow I'll figure it out differently. If you have a tradition, you say, okay, I did what the tradition said. I analyzed the way the tradition said. I'm right. I'm okay. And you could go to sleep at night and feel good about yourself. There's an end. When a person is a pagan or a Sadducee, so then there's no end. Maybe God wants me to sacrifice my son. Maybe my toe. Maybe my nose. Maybe I should do something else. What do I know? If I'm inventing, if it's all up to what I think, there's no end, so then there's no peace. So that's the direction the Kuzari takes it. But we're not going to go that route. We'll just say that there's a certain element of trust that has to be there in order to begin. If I'm going to walk into this and say, they made it up, so fine, so then you start. Where do you want to start? There's a Torah and what? What does Todafos mean? What are tefillin supposed to be? What's a Priyetz Hadar? You're going to take an orange on Sukkos. Without tradition and without that trust in the tradition, I can't go anywhere. Now, part of the tradition they gave us are laws of derivation. And our tradition is that Moshe received these laws of logic at Sinai. They didn't just look at a verse and say, gee, what does that seem like? They worked to purify themselves, to be impartial, and then apply the laws of derivation in accordance with tradition. So far, that was that point, the question of where'd they get it from? Where's my trust in it? Now, we're going to try to analyze, but this is where I said we should really take a whole class, how they got it from the verse. I agree with you that at first glance, the verse says what you said. At first glance, the verse just says they'll interpret the Torah for you. Where did they come off telling me they could invent their mitzvahs, right? We will deal with that at greater length here, but one point to ponder. The way we have a tradition, the way we break up each verse, is that no word is superfluous. Every word has an exact meaning, every letter has an exact purpose, and much of the pages of the Talmud and the Midrash are filled with analyzing every single letter in the Torah, figuring out what does that letter tell me, and why did it say it that way and not in a shorter way? Meaning, if it could have said it in less words and it used more words, then we say every letter there came to teach you something. That's Talmud. Much of what the Talmud's doing is looking at the verses and saying, why did it use that word?
Why did it use the same words repeatedly for each tribe?
Right.
The same sacrifice.
Oh, excellent question, right? That deserves its own class. If you have a whole book of Medrash, a whole book on one word in Torah, Bereshis, the first word of Torah has a whole book, a whole Medrash written on that first word. So you understand, each word in Torah has tremendous depth. Yes, in our parsha we have many words that at first glance we don't understand what they're doing there. Okay, that deserves its own analysis. Sometimes on the surface you won't get it. And it's only when you know more and more and more that you're going to get it. So what does the Torah say? It says, Al pi haTorah asher yoruha. Let's take out a chumash. We're opening to Parshas Shofet. It says like this: Ki yipalei mimechal davar lamishpat, when something will be beyond you in justice, bin dam ledam, where you can't discern between two types of blood, if it's defiled or pure, ben din ledin, in cases of court, uve nega la nega, and blemishes, divrei revot bisharecha, you have arguments in your midst, v'kamta v'alita l'mkom shevcha Hashem l'kech avom. You'll go up, you'll ascend to the place that Hashem chooses. Uvata l'kohanim alvim v'lashvet asho yebaim imahim. You will come to the priests, to the Levites, to the judge that will be in those days. Each of those words has a lot of derivations. Why did it say Kohen? Why did it say Levite? Why did it say the judge? Why did it say in those days? V'darashta, you will seek out. V'yigidu l'cha, and they will tell you et devar ha-mishpat, their ruling. They will tell you the law. V'asita al pi ha-devar she'yigidu l'cha min ha-makom ha-hu asher yivchar Hashem. You will do based on the words that they will tell you from that place. So many words. You will do. It says they will tell you. Obviously, if they tell you, you will do. No. You will do based on the words that they will tell you from that place, Asher Yivchar Hashem, that Hashem has chosen. V'shamarta la'asot, and you will watch to perform kechol asher yiruha, exactly as they teach you. So many words in one verse. So as you learn Talmud, you will see that we have a tradition that this verse was telling us a lot. When it said, you will do, and you will do, it was telling you, you will do, even when they tell you a mitzvah. Even see, but again, if you're a beginner, so that seems far-fetched. The more you learn, the more you see that our tradition is that that's how we derive everything in Torah. Every word teaches us something. But to a beginner, this looks like all it said is you will do. It said it twice, you will do. Right. Why did it say twice? So we have a tradition that that's part of what we derive from the fact that it says twice. Then it says, Lo tasu, don't veer, min hadavar asher yagidu lecha, from the thing they tell you, yamin u'smol. Why did it have to repeat the thing that they will tell you? You just said, that's what we're talking about. He said to me twice already, now he's talking to me a third time? So each one of those teaches us something. For whatever reason, the Talmud learns from this, from the prohibition, that I'm obligated to listen to their proactive commandments. Meaning, I would have thought to derive it from the proactive commandment, listen and watch what they say. No, the Talmud says from this, Lo tasu min hadavar she'yagidu lecha yamin u'smol. Don't veer off path from what they tell you to the right or to the left. So again, you need tradition. You need to sit down and start learning how we derive from each word in the verses. But more than that, you have a general approach, like Hillel told the Ger. You want to know Torah, there's no other way. This is the tradition. I can't give you any other way to know the Torah. So I haven't really answered you completely. We've just opened up directions of thought. A more complete answer, Bezrat Hashem, as we learn more of the Be'er HaGula, and we learn more of Talmud, and learn the way that we derive each word in Talmud. So I hope you'll have an answer that's better for you. And I think that part of what he did was explain to us philosophically why this setup that Chazal did philosophically doesn't contradict the Torah. But again, he's been doing that for quite a few pages already. So you have to put together the other things he said about how the rabbinic institutions don't contradict the Torah. And the first question he addressed was really, why doesn't this constitute adding to the Torah? That was the first point we dealt with. And there he went into the exact nature, if you recall, of what's the Torah prohibiting, and he proved that what the Torah was prohibiting was within mitzvot, don't change details. Don't make your tefillin with five houses. Don't make your don't put six tzitziot in your talit. And he proved that. He proved that logically, and we also discussed the linguistic proofs. So that's a direction.